The following program is brought to you by Podcast One Sportsnet.
This is an exclusive presentation of Podcast One Sports.
What up? This is Robert Ory.
Or three-pointer. There is it.
You might know me as Big Shot Bob.
To Ory for three. Oh, unbelievable. This guy is off the charts.
What's going on, Big Shot Bob?
Robert Ory from downtown.
Now that's making a statement.
See, I'm becoming less and less fond of the "that's making a statement" drop in the open because I am here by myself. You and I, the OGs, if you will, the two guys that started this little operation. My name's Rob Jenners. That, of course, is seven-time NBA champion and Alabama alumni, Rob Ory. Harper's not here this week. B-Dog's having car trouble. And I am the lone man to stand here and eat shit on behalf of the University of Georgia. You and I were texting back and forth a little bit. I was like, no podcast this week.
You know what?
We're not doing it.
I told myself, I was putting on my clothes this morning. I said, nah, I'm not even going to wear anything with Alabama.
I thought for
I'm
gonna go. Sure.
Hey, I knew you was waiting on
I
it.
I thought you were going to do the reveal and off comes the shirt. No, let me just get this Alabama shirt out of here.
I'm like, even though I need a haircut right now, I'm not even going to wear a hat because I don't even want to say anything. I'm just going to chill. Take it like a normal day. Hey, I look at it like that thing when, you know, when Carl's chant "overrated," and I'm like, "Why are you saying overrated? That makes you sound like you a bum ass school." You know what I mean? So I'm not even going, you know, put it out there because, you know, we've been there, done that. There's no point even talking about it.
Yeah, I don't. Well, here's the thing: I don't think that Georgia's overrated. I think Georgia got a little bit exposed, and they've been having quarterback trouble all year. And this was a perfect. Now, I don't know what the hell JT Daniels did to Kirby Smart, but he has not sniffed the field in weeks. It's Stetson Bennett all the way.
Crazy.
And it's like he was struggling. And my thought was like, Kirby, take a playbook, take a book from Coach Saban's play and flip your QBs. You know, when Tua was struggling, Hurts bailed him out. When Hurts was struggling, Tua bailed him out. And JT Daniels never even sniffed the field. So I don't know what he did, or he pissed off Kirby or something. But
you know, it's weird how that works, though, man. You think about the situation in Oklahoma. You think about the situation in Pitt. It's a lot of quarterbacks out there. You know, I think Oklahoma the biggest, though, because he was a front runner for the Heisman.
Oh, yeah.
And next thing you know, he came sniff the field. But then he did come in one game and say, you know, and it's just weird because – you know, these college coaches are like, man, F you. I'm trying to keep myself paid.
Right.
You know, there's not many relationships like Lane Kiffin and his quarterback. You know, they go fishing and hunting and he spends the night over at his house. They have all that type of stuff. But it's just weird how that works. But, you know, for people who it's so weird how the day of the Alabama-Georgia game, how everybody picked Georgia. Everybody. But
of
course so. When Lee Corso picked Alabama, I was like this, no!
You're done.
No,
usually that's the kiss of death, man.
Yes. Yeah. But hey, I let you know, with age comes wisdom. Lee knew something that we all didn't know.
And I'll tell you what, if you would have told me Georgia loses by two touchdowns, I'd have said you were smoking crack because there's no way. Like, that game had to be close. In every cut, even if Georgia lost, they lost by like a field goal or a late touchdown or something. And they got smoked. They just got run out of the building they were up 10-0, which for Georgia teams and Atlanta teams is the kiss of death. This early lead is death in Atlanta, usually. So it's like, as soon as they were up 10-0, I was like, watch this,
hey,
here it goes.
It's so weird. I saw 10-0, I started shaking my head. I'm like, damn, here we go. And then I was like, okay, touchdown. All right, Jay, all right, then. And then when I saw Michi didn't get up, I'm like, no.
Yeah,
no,
that was a hit, man. That was ugly.
Yeah, that was ugly.
And that was self-inflicted, too. Not self-inflicted, but he just tried to turn on a route and just, boop, there goes the knee. And it can happen that fast. And it was like, I hate that.
So many guys, though,
hate
man.
Hate that for that kid.
You know, when you anytime a guy is non-contact, you already it happens so much. Non-contact injury, you already assume the worst.
Yeah.
As soon as it's an ACL. And plus, if you watch him, he just laid down on the floor on the football field. You can see him trying to get out of the way of the play. And he knew it was bad because he didn't do anything but just lay there. So
yeah, I hate it for that kid. I feel sorry for him, man.
Now, I just feel sorry for anybody who tears an ACL or, you know, in the midst of, you know, accomplish something great. Yeah. You know, so
we had in Atlanta this year with the Braves with Ronald Acuna. Mm-hmm. Playing a ball off the wall, just turns his knee the wrong way and out for the rest of the season. Sucks. Yeah. Do you like the 14 playoff, by the way, in college football? Because you're gonna get your Crimson Tide are gonna get Cincinnati, who they're gonna eviscerate. That's gonna be insane. I think Georgia Michigan should be a good game.
Yes,
I think Georgia's a 6.5 point favorite at this point, but I envision that game probably being a little bit closer than that. Do you think it should be more teams in the playoff, or do you like the four?
You know, I like the four. But then again, you look at a situation like this year, when you got like people like Ohio State on the outside looking in. Yep. You got
Oklahoma outside looking.
I hate to even say this. Notre Dame on the outside looking in.
Notre Dame lives on the outside looking in. That's literally where they live.
But I think it would be cool. But then if you're putting a lot more games on these kids, I think if they did go to more schools like the SEC and the Big Ten. You have no Big Ten or SEC championship. And I say that because look at it like this season, you know, Alabama and playing Georgia, Alabama loses, you know, will they make the playoffs? You know, and because they're like, they're looking for reasons to knock schools out. So I would be like, so no SEC championships, no conference championships, but it's too many games on those kids, man.
Yeah,
I know
a lot.
And you think about this, we ride them already for a lot of money, not us, but the NCAA. So that's that unless they're getting paid big bucks.
Well, now at least they have an opportunity to. Not a humongous one, but you know, NIL, name, image, likeness now. So it's like they can go get a few bucks, but my thing is I'm good with the four. There's rarely an instance where I look at five or six and we're like, damn, I would love to see those guys in there, but I don't think you go, even if you go to six, I don't think you need to go beyond six. Yeah. There's never a time where I've seen like the seventh, eighth teams in there and been like, man, I wish we had an 18 playoff because, you know, two loss freaking UCF should be in the mix or some crap. You know what I mean? Like, no.
Yeah. I'm good with the four, though. I'm good with the four because I just think it's too many games.
I like the four.
Speaking of the four, what about the Heisman finalists, man?
Oh, but who are your Heisman finalists? I saw it, I didn't really write it down or pay attention.
You got Hutchinson from Michigan.
Okay.
You got Bryce Young, of
course.
You got Ohio State quarterback Stroud, and then you got the quarterback from Pitt.
Kenny Pickett.
And my whole point, I brought that up because I'm about to start hating.
Go, man.
How are you going to – I know Hutchinson is a bad boy in Michigan. He's a bad boy, the all-time leader in sacks up there. But how the hell are you not going to be defensive player of the year in college football and beat my guy from Bama and go into the Heisman? I'm like, this just doesn't make sense to me, man. It doesn't make sense. It goes back to when I don't want to quote myself wrong, but who was it? Was it defensive player of the year? What's his name? Mark Gasol? It was either defensive player of the year or NBA – it was something where they didn't make the first team all defense, but they won defensive player of the year.
Oh,
something like that.
I think that might have been Marc Gasol. I think you're right. Yeah, I think it was defensive player of the year.
What kind of nonsense is that, man?
Yeah, that's perfect. I will give Kenny Pickett some credit for the fake slide. Did you see that move?
Nice.
He was running, and he did that little, like he was going to slide and then just turned it on and burned those DBs right up the sideline. I was like, good for you. I've never seen a college player do that. That's dope.
Here's my whole point to that is like I figured once as a quarterback, once you leave that pocket, you are a running back.
Oh, hell yes, you are.
You should get treated like a running back. The slide, fuck that. It ain't no slide. You get your ass lit up. If you want to be a running quarterback, be like Bryce Young. Bryce says, fuck that. I ain't running. If I have to, I will, but I ain't running.
Well, I don't know if you remember. I mean, like late 90s NFL when you had guys like – Dante Culpepper and Michael Vick, which was more early 2000s and stuff. And even to a lesser extent, Randall Cunningham. Those guys, as soon as they were out of the pocket, they would tuck that ball and they would run like they were going to get leveled. They never tried to go for the slide.
Yes. So, but, you know, I'll get to that about, and that's, you know, you look at that and it's, I think it's not fair because every guy in this league can get hurt. Every guy in the league is valuable, not just the quarterback.
Sure.
Right. So what if a receiver's out there and I would say he can just get lit up like that? It's okay because he's a receiver. No. Everybody, once you go past that line of scrimmage, you're vulnerable.
Yes. Oh, no. And you should be. Mm-hmm. You absolutely should be. You're crossing the line. You're going in enemy territory.
Yes, exactly.
You're going to get a linebacker bearing down on you, and you better just strap in because you're going to get wiped. We talked a little bit about this. I guess maybe it just didn't hit me until I saw it online yesterday, was the Staples Center letters coming down off the building.
Yes.
I was just – God, I don't know why that just hit me weird. You know what I mean? It's just like one of those, like, okay, they're changing the name, but then you see it physically come off the building, and you're like, oh, damn.
And then it's like one of those buildings in Vegas when they implode it and it just falls down. Now you're looking at this things coming off like, wow. You're
like, oh, that's over, huh? We're really done with that. That's a real thing. But
it happens. I remember the first time it ever happened, we were from the Summit. You know, my first championship was won in the Summit. Then we became the Compact Center. I'm like, okay,
that's right.
This is Summit. Yeah. And then next thing you know, it's Joel Osteen's church. So, you know, it's had many names.
God has more money than the NBA. Yeah,
exactly.
That's the truth, man. There was some stuff going on this week. By the way, I have some audio I'm going to play for you here in a second.
Uh-oh.
Your name was evoked on ESPN this week, on ESPN Radio. We'll get to that in a second. Did you see the pictures of Zion?
No, I have not.
All right, so there's some pictures circulating from, I guess this was the Rockets game the other night.
Did he play?
No, he did not. He was doing the tracksuit mafia thing. He was on the sideline, tracksuit, but he looked big. He looked big.
I didn't see it.
So
I need to pull it up.
Yeah, go ahead. Look at it real quick. I'm gonna set the stage for what I'm about to play for you here. ESPN's Tim McMahon was on Zach Lowe's podcast, and they were talking about Luka Doncic's weight. And Luka's coming in, I think he comes in like 260 plus or whatever it is, or whatever the number is. But that's what they're talking about at the beginning of this clip. Mm-hmm. And then Zach kind of pivots to Zion. And you get a number here from Tim McMahon that kind of threw me a little bit. So let me play this clip for you.
260 plus. He has to stop doing that.
What does Zion weigh then? I know he weighs more than that, but 260?
The number I've heard from several places on Zion is 70 pounds higher than 260. I'll let you do the math on that.
So that would put Zion in, according to Tim McMahon, at around 330.
No.
Which puts him, for the sake of reference, about 5 pounds over prime Shaq. And about a half a foot shorter.
There's no way he's 330, man.
That's really big. I mean, like, and he's a big dude anyway, but that's, like, that's almost too much big.
Man, that's, you know, that's hot plate. When you get in the hot plate. But hot plate still could cook people, though. But I hope he's not 330, man.
Me too, because isn't that murder on your body as a big man? And obviously, you can speak to this. Your weight is so important. To how
Very
your
important.
Body functions, not even just as an athlete, but as a human being.
But I mean, if you look at his body, though, he's all muscle, man.
He is. He carries.
You know,
a lot
when people
of it,
look
yeah.
at him, if you, it's not like fat; it's muscle. He's a little fluffy, which will go away after you start, you know, getting more reps in and running and sprinting. But if you look at him, man, he's all muscle, and he's one of those guys. If I am his trainer, I'm like, dude, we're never lifting weights again. We're doing all
cardio.
Bands. Cardio.
We are
bands,
running, so, baby.
Yeah. It's because he don't need to lift weights. He's already so damn strong.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, man. You know, that's how LeBron would probably be if he did weights, because certain guys just have those genetics where their body just build muscle and they can get huge.
Yeah.
So, but you look at Zion, you think he'd be in.
Yeah, he does. You're right. He looks like an offensive tackle. Like, dude, where are you going? I mean, but he's got that body shaping. But like, how hard is it? I guess, do you have doctors that are like, will talk to you about, hey, you know, keep your weight down, or like, what, how involved is your doctor in that day to day?
Your trainer, your athletic trainer for the team is the number one thing, because he's saying, hey, man, you know, you're doing a lot of pounding. You start at the base, you're going to start at your ankles and your feet.
Yep.
And then you'll go up to your knees, and then you go up to your hips. And, you know, those are the things. You know, upper body, you're fine. But, you know, that lower body, that base is where it comes. And you think about all the great players that were out there, like y'all, his feet went out. The Dutchman, his feet up in Indiana, Rick Smith, his feet went out. You know, and once that happens, it's a wrap, man. You can't do anything.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and that's, we saw it. I mean, how do you move as far as, like, your lower body? Is your knees, ankles, feet, hips, they bug you at all enough to cause you pain day to day, or?
Yeah, for me, I can't lay on my right hip too long. Like if I'm in bed at night, I have to leave it slip on my back. Mm-hmm. If I lay on that right hip, the next day my hip aches all day.
Yeah.
My left ankle, which I actually broke in high school and didn't know it. And I didn't know
How
it.
You did not know that you didn't break your ankle.
They just said I sprained it really bad, and I started having problems out of it in 2001. And I went and had x-rays. They said, you broke your foot. I'm like, now? He says, no, back in the day. And I'm trying to think, when did I break my foot? And I realized it was in high school when I had a real bad ankle sprain.
And just didn't heal right. Yeah.
And it didn't heal right. And I have problems out of it now. And it actually, the other day, I was walking up the stairs, and I thought someone hit me in the ankle with a sledgehammer, man. I'm like, what the hell?
What happened?
And you have all these injuries that you get during your career. And when you get older,
yeah,
they just sit there and they wait for that day.
Yeah, they
just going to rear their ugly heads like, gotcha.
Well, I asked.
The crazy part, my knees are good right now. My knees are good,
okay.
But I did.
Okay.
I went through a period, though, for me where my knees, man, I couldn't even sit on the toilet. They hurt so bad. My wife was laughing at me. I couldn't sit in a chair. They just were hurting. I went about 6 months, but they just hurt for no reason.
Was this when you were playing or after?
After.
Okay.
While I was playing,
it just bugged the hell out of you for no good reason?
Oh, yeah. It was. So I had to go to rehab, man.
Well, I ask you because, you know, we spent a lot of time with Shaquille as well, and he God bless him, he's slow. Like, he has a hard time getting around, and he's not an old man by any means, and neither of you guys are. But he struggles. Like, he struggles carrying his weight around, and he's lost a lot of it. But, you know, his knees.
Shaq's 50, right?
No, I don't think so. I think he's like 48.
I know he is.
I don't think he's hit 50.
He's a year behind me. But yeah, it's hard. Every time I look at Shaq, I was like
49, 72.
49.
So he'll be 50 next year. So,
yeah,
I ask because every time I see him, it's hard for him to get up. It's hard for him to sit down. It's hard for him to really move at a quick pace. Now he's working out like crazy. His upper body's great. He's lost some weight, but his legs just kill him.
But you got to think about it. Everything is not built for him either. So that's the problem. He got it. Like, chairs are low. They're not wide enough.
Toilets.
And, like, for me, I'm right there on that cusp where everything is perfect for me.
Yeah.
But if I was a little bit taller, a little bit wider, I'm like, it wouldn't fit. So I'm like, mm-mm. But it's hard. And that's the one thing that, you know, they also say that, you know, once you get past 6'8", that, you know, your heart doesn't function like it's like a person under 6'8".
And yeah,
it takes 10 years off your life. And there's so many things that, but who knows, man? That's what
I mean, all this related to Zion's weight. It's like, you gotta be, at a young age, it probably doesn't hit you, but you gotta be so careful with what you put on and how you carry that.
And he's not even 21 yet.
I know, he's a young kid.
Yeah.
Young kid. Now, and again, we talked about this last week. You're, as a young kid in your 20s, you're indestructible. Bring on the world. I'll eat 25 cheeseburgers. I don't care. Let's go. And then when you hit like 40, all of a sudden the world hits you with a sledgehammer.
Jambalaya in New Orleans.
Like, oh, damn, I can't move. Like, yeah, that's what happens. So when you're trying to grow your business, if you have a business, or if you're Robert Ory, you're trying to sell some furniture, there is no better sound than the cha-ching of a new sale. Why are you trying to sell your furniture, by the way? You moved. You bring your furniture with you on the move.
It doesn't go with the decor that we have in the house.
Oh, get out of here with that. Are you kidding me? You're buying all new furniture?
No, not right now.
Well, no.
But eventually.
Not right now, but soon.
Hey, you buy it piece by piece. Hey, I put everything on layaway.
Hoping that one day Tyler Perry would show up at your Walmart and pay off your layaway. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
Well, look, if you're building a business, that's not the way to do it. What you need to do is get it with our friends at Shopify, because that cha-ching sound happens pretty often with them. They're an all-in-one commerce cha-ching platform. There it is. All-in-one commerce platform from start, run, and grow your business. Shopify gives entrepreneurs the resources once reserved for big businesses. So upstart, startups, established businesses even can all sell everywhere, synchronize online and in-person sales, and effortlessly stay informed.
It's great how Shopify has the tools and resources that make it easy for any business to succeed from down the street to around the globe. Shopify powers over 1.7 million businesses from first sale to full scale. Reach customers online and across social networks with an ever-growing suite of channel integrations and apps, including Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, and more. Synchronize your online and in-person sales now.
Yeah, they do a great job of that. So it's like if you're out there and you're building your business and you need to be selling stuff on Facebook or you need to build an e-commerce platform, man, Shopify is the way to go. Plus, gain insights as you grow with detailed reporting of conversion rates, profit margins, and beyond. All the stuff you need to be like, you know, a real business. It's more than a store. Yeah, exactly right. It's more than a store. Shopify grows with you. So even if you're small to large, no matter what it is, they've got you covered because it's powered by Shopify, and they do a good job.
I just like that cha-ching sound. So go to Shopify.com/BigShot.
Cha-ching.
All lowercase for a free 14-day trial and get full access to Shopify's entire suite of features. Grow your business with Shopify today. Go to Shopify.com/BigShot right now. That's Shopify.com/BigShot.
For 14 days, that's 2 weeks of free goodies from Shopify. That's not bad. All right, so Jay Williams, how well did you know Jay?
I didn't know Jay at all. Which
really?
One? It's like three of them, right? The Duke guy, right? Who never made it to the NBA? Yeah.
No, he played in the NBA. He played for the Bulls.
I thought he broke his ankle on doing a motorcycle. Never played.
No, he played. He played. So this is from ESPN's Barton Hahn. And this is why I asked how well you know Jay Williams, because your name is evoked in this conversation. Here's them talking about – they were talking about the LeBron thing we talked about last week with the making the balls gesture. The big marbles thing, and I guess Kareem had some stuff to say like, hey, if you're the best, you don't need to, you don't need to show your marbles to the world, you know. So they were talking about that, and then Jay evokes your name here. So just listen to this clip real quick.
Look, man, there's trash talking. There's different forms of trash talking in today's game than what there was, you know, 30 years ago. Yeah. And like, if I were to tell you, like, what's worse, some of the things that Michael Jordan has said up close and personal to me that nobody else has heard, or LeBron James making a three and kind of doing like the ball thing. Like, yeah. I'm gonna tell you the MJ stuff. I'm gonna tell you the Gary Payton stuff. I'm gonna tell you the Robert Horry stuff.
Yeah, yeah, but that's different though.
The KG stuff.
The Robert Horry stuff came up. So Jay only played 1 year, 2002. The ankle injury got him, but he played for the Bulls in 2002. What the hell did you say to Jay Williams?
I have no clue.
The list with Gary Payton, Michael Jordan, and Kevin Garnett. Hot dog. Sign me up, man. Put me on that list.
I want to know, too. You know, I want to know why I was on that list. I only open my mouth once you open your mouth. So you're going to talk some shit to me, and then I'm going to open my mouth, and I'm taking it to another level. I tell people, I says, you know what? I didn't talk trash. I wasn't a dirty player. But if you cut my finger off, I'm cutting your arm off. That's how I'm going to get you.
Dude, there ain't nothing wrong with that, though. Level. That's not. But that ain't dirty trash talking. That's fair game. You take a shot at me, I'll take a shot back.
I'm going to call Jay up. I know. I think I was just on his mind because, you know, he was thinking probably how great that Alabama program is because they beat Gonzaga. You know, just things like that, you know.
Yeah, well. I was floored that of all the trash talk that got to Jay Williams in the year he played in the league, you were on that list.
When I see him, I'm like, man, what did I say to you?
What did I do, Jay?
I apologize.
Get Jay on. If you want, we can get Jay on. We can talk to Jay. I'll reach out to ESPN. Like, I'll see if we can get Jay on. Jay's a good dude. Yeah. He does a good job. Like, he does the morning show on ESPN Radio. They do a good job.
I like about Jay is he tells it like it is. You know, a lot of guys are afraid to touch stuff, and he's just like, you know what? I'm going to speak my piece and speak my mind. That's the thing. We're analysts. We are using our opinions. So I appreciate it.
God, I'm so anxious to find out what the hell you said to him. You got his ear somewhere, and he's hung on to it forever.
Hey, I struck a nerve, huh?
I love
struck
it.
A nerve somewhere.
I love it. You don't even know what you did, but he's hanging on to it, man. He's hanging on to it. I want to throw – oh, let's do this. We talked about Brian Kelly. Did you see Brian Kelly's halftime speech at the LSU basketball game?
No.
Okay, so Brian Kelly gets on the microphone and decides – at the LSU basketball game last week, was like Friday, I'm going to address the crowd. Well, jokingly, we were making fun of the fact that Brian Kelly might be one of the whitest people on the face of God's green. And all of a sudden, here comes Brian Kelly with a little bit of a southern accent in his speech to the Louisiana crowd.
It's a great night to be a Tiger. I'm here with my family, and we are so excited to be in the great state of Louisiana, but more importantly, to be with you great fans and to be part of what is going to be an incredible ride here at Louisiana State University.
All of a sudden, Brian Kelly's got a little... I'm here with my family. Like, was he just like you adopt a southern accent now because you work in the South? Is that how this works?
Exactly. Like when people go to London, they want to talk with a London accent.
I think it's the same thing. It must be the same thing.
Yes, yeah, so it's weird. This is funny. I used to go. I used to go visit my family in South Carolina, in Charleston, Mount Pleasant. So they all talk with a certain accent, and they're considered Geechies. And so I'll be there, like, and I will come out. And I would literally try to talk like them to fit in. And I would come home and my brother would be like, man, you don't get that fucking slang out of here, man.
What the hell is wrong with you? Yeah.
Because I would go stay there for like 2 months, man. You know, because one of the things that, you know, instead of saying go ahead, they would say go red boy. Oh. Going with that boy. Where you going, man?
Oh,
you gotta stop that. They kind of had that Jamaican accent.
Yeah, it's
so
got a little bit of that carry to it.
Yeah. I used to try to talk like that. My brother like, man, you don't get that slang out of here, man. That ain't you. But so I miss it, though.
I would do that all the time because I grew up in New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And then I went to college in Florida, South Florida. Well, I would go home to Jersey for the summer. And then you come back to college and you're like, yeah, all right, what are you guys doing over the weekend? You want to go out to get some pizza? What are you guys doing? And like all of a sudden, all the New York and the New Jersey just starts pouring out of you again. It's like, oh, the fuck is this guy over here? What's he doing? Hey, and I'm like, what are you, like a cartoon character? And I'm like, hey, forget about it. Get your ass out of here. I don't want to talk to you. Like all of a sudden, all that stuff just comes back for no good reason. Yeah, well,
it's funny.
Congratulations, Brian Kelly, on your new Southern accent.
Brian Kelly's out. He's down there. And the fact that he said Louisiana State University, that didn't even sound right.
Oh, man.
You just say LSU.
LSU. Nah, I'm trying to put it on. He spent a little bit too much time around Coach O. I think he spent like a week around. All of a sudden, he spent a week around Coach O, and everybody's like, Coach O. I will tell you that I think that Bill Belichick deserves a lot of credit. And I hate to say that because, God, I love to hate the Patriots, man. And it was part of that was the Tom Brady years. But
mine was a Tuck rule, you know. Tuck rule,
well, there's that. There's Spygate. There's Deflategate. There's a million reasons to hate the Patriots. They beat the Bills, who are a good football team. 14-10 on Monday Night Football. Your boy, Mac Jones. Threw three passes in the game.
Three?
He was 2 for 3 for 19 yards. They won 14-10.
That's all he threw was three passes?
He threw three passes in an NFL game, and he completed two of them for 19 yards, and they won 14-10. That is a masterclass in NFL in football. Man, that's unbelievable to me.
You can say what you want about Bill Belichick. You might not like him, but the guy is a genius. You know,
he's the best pro coach ever.
Yes.
Ever.
Yes. Yes.
Ever.
You know, anybody who can take what they have and turn it into a playoff team and look, think about it. Nobody said, oh, Mac Jones, he's not ready. Next thing you know, they would only lost three games. And they're playing, you know, but think about him. He won in those conditions. Those conditions was crazy. The wind was blowing, and you got to have a good game plan. And that's what Bill Belichick does. He comes out a good game plan. You know, he reminds me of a guy down there in Alabama, has a good game plan.
Oh, well, he's the best college coach in the history of the game. And no offense to the great Bear Bryant or anybody else, but yeah, Nick Saban's the greatest college coach ever. I don't think there's any doubt anymore. I mean, Bill Belichick lost arguably the greatest quarterback that's played in the modern era in Tom Brady, mm-hmm. and went through a one-year rebuild. They had a horrible year, horrible in 2020. And this year, he's back as the number one seed in the AFC in 1 year. I mean, that's stuff that teams toil with for decades. You know what I mean? You lose a quarterback, you go through a 7 or 8 year rebuild before you're relevant again.
Just look down in the bayou. Look at New Orleans. You know, they lose one of the greatest quarterbacks that ever played the game also. And
they're a mess.
Just searching. Yeah, they lose a quarterback to ACL injury. Now they got the guy they paid all this money to, and he's like,
Yeah, and Belichick turned the Patriots around in a year without Gronk, without Brady, without Amendola and Edelman and all these guys, and nope, none of them are there. And Bill Belichick gets you right back.
It's so funny how sometimes we give credit to coaches, sometimes we give credit to the players, sometimes we don't give credit enough to those guys. But in this case, you know, he has solidified himself as one of the greatest coaches by taking this group of misfits that nobody thought they would be anywhere, put them back in a situation in playoffs, probably one of the best teams in football, you know. So it's exciting to see that, man. You know, I'm happy for Mac Jones. You know, that's the only reason I'm kind of rooting for them, because of Mac Jones. But I want them to play Brady.
Oh, God, it would be great. Playoffs. It would be so good. Well, you'll see if you see him. You're going to see him in the Super Bowl.
Super Bowl.
Because you got an AFC team and an NFC team. So if you get Belichick and the Patriots against Brady, and oh, God, that would be – I would want to vomit for a month with that Super Bowl. I couldn't tolerate having to listen to Belichick versus Brady in the Super Bowl.
You're going to hear about it for 2 months.
I forget it. No.
Straight.
Good night. I'm out.
Politics.
Just shoot my ass. I can't.
Politics.
Yeah, no, I don't want to hear about any of it. But yeah, 1 year he had that thing turn around. That's.
We had the Lakers All Access the other night, and every time I look at Dwight, all I could think was politics.
Politics. Politics.
Politics.
That's right. If you said it to him too, I don't know if he would get it. I'd be like, what? Like, oh, you don't. Okay, well, we abused that drop. Did you see the, this was a funny one. Did you see this week the fight amongst the Canadian Football League players?
No, I didn't see that.
Okay, so there's
you watch way too much TV, man.
God, this is I'm a hound for all kinds of wild stories. I love this stuff. This is the Toronto Argonauts, real team.
Yes,
we're
I
taking
know.
On the Hamilton Tiger Cubs.
Never heard of them.
Real team. well, apparently some Tiger Cats fans spit a mouthful of beer into a player's face. Well, the Toronto player, who is the defensive back named Chris Edwards, came off the field, full uniform, helmet, pads, the whole deal, and him and like 3-4 guys after the game was over ran up into the stands, out onto the concourse, and are chasing down the fan that spit the beer on him. And he's swinging at this guy, and he's doing it with his helmet on and his pads and everything. So I'm like, yeah, I guess if you're going to leave a game to get into a fight, just go ahead and leave your gear on to be safe in case somebody takes a punk at you.
Hey. I guarantee if you want to get in the fight, that's the best way to get in a fight, because you're not going to get punched in the face or the head.
No, but spitting on somebody is like that's like the ultimate. Like, I think there's a difference between if you throw a beer at somebody, okay,
yes,
horrible, disrespectful, don't be an asshole. If you spit onto somebody, that is like a direct affront. That's like, nope, I want to fight. Let's go. Yeah, let's go. Yeah. I'll kick your ass.
And you know, it's funny because it's like you think about when you spit on someone, that's like the most disrespectful thing you can do. You can yell at them, you can dump your beer on someone, but when you put your germs during this era and this time and this day and age with COVID, and you spit it in my face, oh, it's you better make sure you fast as hell, because if I catch you,
it ain't gonna be pretty.
It ain't gonna be pretty. No. You know, it's gonna take someone to pull me off of you before that ends, because all I'm thinking about is my health and the disrespect, and it's just gonna be some ass whooping time.
It's not gonna be pretty. Yeah, no. And you know what? I'll tell you what. Even before the age of COVID, you spit on anybody, forget it. You're done, man.
Hey,
you are in for a full on ass beating. You better be ready.
I'd be like saying, like 20 years ago, if Mike Tyson spit in your face, you'd be like, damn, Mike, why you do that?
Yeah. It's cool, but you know, I mean, damn, I wish you wouldn't, Mike.
I thought we were boys, man. Why you spit on me like that?
But
man?
It's cool. But it's cool. I can do it. Yeah, no.
I got a towel right here. I can wipe my face.
I got it. Sorry, don't worry about it, Mike. It's good.
I know you didn't do that on purpose.
We're good, man.
Man.
Hug it out. Let's hug it out. Yeah, no. Nobody want any of that. No, thank you. My big shout of the week this week is going to go to the Detroit Lions for a number of reasons. They won a game.
Yes.
They won a game. Holy cow, they won a freaking game. Did you see? This is not the big shot of the week. The big shot of the week is going to go to Dan Campbell, their head coach. But did you see the, I guess, Jared Goff's girlfriend is a swimsuit model. And my goodness, this woman. I mean, my goodness, this woman. She was in the middle of a photo shoot when they won the game, and they had stopped the shoot. And there was like all this video online of her like reacting to the win and all this stuff. And oh my God, it's so great. When you get a minute, put a Google on Jared Goff's girlfriend, because
I see that right
hot
now.
Hot dog. My goodness, this woman.
You know, it reminds me of it's what's the, dang it. What's the guy's name for Alabama when they showed his girlfriend?
Oh, AJ McCarron.
Yeah, AJ McCarron's girlfriend. All
and
of a sudden,
Brett Musburger was like, "Hey, I'd like to get me some of that." And it's like, Brett, you're on TV, buddy. Musburger, I think it was like during the national championship game. Musburger was like, and look at his girlfriend. Oh my goodness, holy cow! Yeah. And they were like, Brent, you gotta back off the blue pills, fella. Well, the Detroit Lions get the big shot of the week because yes, they did win their first game. Yes, Jared Goff and his girlfriend were excited. But I give this one out to Dan Campbell because there was a shooting in the Oxford, Michigan community.
Mm-hmm.
And on top of their first win of the year, 364 days since they had won their last NFL game, almost one day short of a full calendar year. And Dan Campbell gets up on the podium, and he does this.
First thing I'm going to start with, this game ball goes to the whole Oxford community. All those were affected. And that being said, man, I want us to not forget these names, Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Juliana, Justin Schilling, Tate Muir, Phoebe Arthur, John Ashuda, Riley France, Elijah Mueller, Kylie Osigi, Aiden Watson, and Molly Darnell, who's a teacher. Those names, you know, will never be forgotten, and they're in our hearts and our prayers and all the families, and not to mention all those that were affected.
I just thought that was class act. Now, he didn't just say, hey, we were thinking about the families. He made sure he had a list of the four victims and anybody that had been injured in the shooting. And he made sure to call them out by name on what was, you know, for him, this is your team's first win. It was a big deal for the Detroit Lions. But, you know, take that spotlight off us and put it on the people that matter, which are these people. And just a class move by Dan Campbell.
That's a big shot of the week right there, because you would think about it, you know, we sometimes get caught up in our feelings and what's in front of us. And he knows what is really going on in this world, how, you know, senseless violence, crazy people going out there and, you know, shooting up kids. And it's so tragic. And for him to say, hey, this is what we got to really focus on to bring light to that, because think about how much, you know, coverage they was getting for their first win.
Yes, a lot.
You know, there's a lot of coverage for him to take
and
the
honestly,
time.
And honestly, it's not for the right reason. It's because the Lions are perennially bad. They have not won a game in almost one day short of a full calendar year.
Yeah.
So it's not necessarily for the right reason that a lot of people are paying attention to a Lions win, but for, like you said, for him to take that moment and go, okay, great, not about us.
Yeah.
It's about
them. Exactly. So,
All right. Well, my mini. Can I give a mini big shot of the week on the back end of that?
You. It's like, you know, he is the playoff big shot. This is the regular season.
This
big
is your
shot.
Regular,
you know,
okay.
Big shot.
All right, I got you. Okay. Detroit rapper G-Mac Cash, who was so excited that the Lions won their game that he wrote a full on song about the fact that the Lions won a game.
I said the Lions won a game.
They won a game.
Man, we going all the way.
All the way, baby.
We about to celebrate.
Come on,
why? Because the Lions won a game. I said the Lions won a game. Bitch, we going all the way. Come on, we about to celebrate.
Come on.
Why? Because the Lions won a game. Feeling like the champs is about to go to fuck down. Jared Goff had three fucking touchdowns. Get a whole team buffs with them bust down. We just won off a game winning touchdown. If the Lions win, nigga, then we all win. Even though our record like 1-10. Say something about the Lions, I'm like, come again. We going to the Super Bowl off of one win. Man, that turn up about to be so real. I'm going to have to do a show up at Ford Field. I know they sick looking at the scoreboard still. Thought it was over, but we came up and scored still. I said the Lions won a game.
I love that.
Hey,
that's outstanding. Hey,
I love that. Man.
I love it
that's,
so much.
That's sweet, man. Oh. Yeah. You know who you need to have in this video? Goff's girlfriend.
Oh, hell yes, he does. Damn,
just doing this right here.
Yep. Just in that bikini from the photo shoot, reacting to the Lions won a game. That's so awesome. The fact that he dropped that as quick as he did, and he's got that kind of sense of humor about his team. That was brilliant, man.
Yeah,
we go into the Super Bowl on one win.
Little big shot.
That's like a mini big shot. I like it a lot.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, I had a game ready. Do you want to play it? Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Because we don't have Harper, so you're not playing against anybody. You're playing for pride.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm playing for pride.
You're playing for pride. So we had a story about.
I was a latchkey kid. I'm used to playing by myself.
By yourself.
No, as I said, by myself.
By yourself. Yeah,
by myself.
I might have gone the other direction as a latchkey kid. No one's home? Yeah, okay. We had a story about the Argonauts and the Tiger Cats. Yeah, exactly right. Where did all our tissues go? Don't even worry about that, Mom. We have more. We'll get more. Can you pick up some lotion? The two teams, the Argonauts and the Tiger Cats, ridiculous team. So I was going to play a game with you here. Real team or no team was the name of the game here. I'm going to give you a team. You just got to tell me, is this a real team or is this a fake team? All right, let's start with the Hartford Yard Goats. The Hartford Yard Goats.
Well, you know, since I was born in Hartford, I'm probably not even the same place, but I'm going to go with a no for that because I don't think that's a real name.
Oh. No, yeah, they're a real team. Yeah, the double A affiliate of the Colorado Rockies, the Hartford Yard Goats.
Oh, man.
All right. Now,
so it's a baseball team.
Yes, it's baseball. And this is any sport. So
okay.
You will notice, by the way, a lot of double A baseball teams on this list.
Yes.
A lot of double A baseball teams on this list. The Montgomery Biscuits. The Montgomery
That's a real
Biscuits
team.
Is indeed a real team. You're absolutely right. Double A affiliate of the Tampa Bay Rays, the Montgomery Biscuits.
Yes.
The Charleston Fleshlights.
You know, it's like Montgomery I've been to, Charleston I've been to, never heard of the Fleshlight, so I'm going to go with no.
There, just good job. Yeah, no, Fleshlight is one of those perverted toys that you stick your peen into. So, yeah, that's not a real team.
Whoa, what?
Oh, all right, here we go. Ready?
How do you even know about this, dude?
Oh, they're all over the place. Come on. You spend as much time on the internet as I do. You run across everything. There's shit I know that I should not know. I promise you. The internet is a dark, sad corner of the world.
Hey, what you do in your man cave is your business.
Well, there's no Cigar Store Indian keeping an eye on me. So not like I have to be embarrassed in front of anybody at this point. How about the Webster University Gorlocks?
You know what? I think the name Gorlocks is cool, so I'm going to go with Gorlocks, yes.
You're doing strong in this game. Yeah, Gorlocks, by the way, were a fictional creature that was invented by the staff and students during a contest to name the university mascot. So the Webster
what does
University
it look like?
I don't even know. It's like a gargoyle almost. It's just like a I don't know. It's a Gorlock.
Is it
whatever.
A girl, is it a girl Gorlock? I mean, a girl gargoyle.
Look, whatever you're into, man. It's, yes, there's there's girl Gorlocks with fleshlights. You're absolutely right. How about the Syracuse Thunderbangers?
Just because this sounds like the fleshlights, I'm gonna say no, because there can't be no damn Thunderbangers.
Yeah, you're right. No, there's no Thunderbangers. not a real
that
team.
That just didn't sound good.
How about the Modesto Nuts?
I'm going to go a yes.
Oh, damn, you are good at this game, my friend. Yeah, no, the Modesto Nuts are a double-A affiliate of the Seattle Mariners. Yeah.
Hey, next time I need to see all these mascots.
What, by the way, what is the mascot for the Modesto Nuts, by the way? Is it just a hairy little beanbag running around the field? Like, what is it? How do you create a mascot for a team called the Nuts and not call him D's Nuts? I mean, how do you not do that? How about the Binghamton Rumble Ponies? The Binghamton Rumble Ponies.
That sounds like some place where a bunch of rich people go and they watch the ponies rumble. Rumble ponies. Run. So I'm going to say yes.
So this is your rich white guy version of a cockfight or a dogfight, is the Rumble Ponies?
Pretty much, yes.
We watch
yes.
these highfalutin animals fight to the death. Well, that's actually a real team. Yeah, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies are a double-A affiliate of the New York Mets, believe it or not.
Oh, what?
Yeah.
Oh.
Of your New York Mets. You can get a Binghamton Rumble Ponies shirt. I may send one to you. How about the Santa Cruz Banana Slugs?
I think for some reason, I think I've heard of these guys, Santa Cruz Banana. So I'm going to say yes.
Damn, you are good at this game, sir. You know why you may have heard of the Santa Cruz Banana Slugs?
Why?
John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, which is a great movie. After they shoot Marvin in the car and the wolf makes him change their clothes, he ends up in a Banana Slugs t-shirt. And it like caught fire. All of a sudden, everybody wanted to get a freaking Santa Cruz Banana Slug shirt because John Travolta wore one in Pulp Fiction after he blew Marvin's head off.
That was a great movie.
Oh my God. My wife's never seen Pulp Fiction.
What?
I know. And I was like, you got to watch this. And we watched it. And she was like, it's a fucking weird movie. I'm like, yeah, it is. It's great.
The dance scene, the sailor scene. And of course, Samuel Jackson's scene.
The Gimp. I mean, the Samuel Jackson, the robbery in the diner is like a masterclass in acting. Him and Tim Roth just sitting there. Oh, absolutely brilliant.
They go to the apartment, and everybody was trying to learn his little speech there.
Oh, absolutely. The Ezekiel 25:17.
Yeah.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the tyranny and evil of righteous men. How about
have a lot of time on your hand, buddy.
Yeah, I know way too much shit. I told you, the internet is a sick, dark, twisted place, and I've been to every corner of it. How about the Toledo Fighting Goldfish?
I don't think they would have goldfish in Toledo, so I'm going to say no.
You're smart. How about the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp?
You know, Jacksonville is down there on the water. That's what I'm thinking about, Jacksonville, Florida. I'm going to say they might be calling themselves the Jumbo Shrimp, but... got shrimp boat. Yeah, you got this guy, you know, hanging out with this guy, you know.
We're doing Forrest Gump now. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
They're a double A affiliate of the Miami Marlins, the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp. How about the Lafayette Whisper Farts?
I'm going to go with no. Who would make that damn team a fart?
God, I wish they were real. I would sport a Whisper Fart shirt all day.
We're going to start a team just call them the Whisper Fart.
The Whisper Fart.
Hey, when you hear me fart, I'll blow my butt. Like this. So people don't know, that's the Yin Yang Twins and the Whisper song.
Yeah, it is.
You haven't heard it? Go check it out.
And if anybody makes shirts, if you want to make us up a Lafayette Whisper Farts shirt, I am down. How about the Scottsdale Community College Fighting Artichokes?
that shit too long for you to make it up. So I'm going to go yes.
Yeah, a real team in Scottsdale, Arizona. Yeah, good job.
What person is right, man? Okay, Scottsdale Community College fighting artichokes. If you said the fighting
How is an artichoke a fighting artichoke? Like, unless you throw it at somebody, it's not. There's nothing to a fighting artichoke. What about the Akron Rubber Ducks?
You know what? People spend a lot of time indoors in Akron, and they have rubber duckies because there's nothing going on in Akron outside of LeBron. So I'm going to go with a yes.
You are good at this. Yeah, they're a double-A affiliate of the formerly the Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians. Two more. How about the Reno Melted Snowmen?
It rained. It doesn't snow. Yeah, it snows in Reno every once in a while, and the snowman melts. So I'm going to go with yes.
Well, you missed one, finally. No, that was a fake one. Last one here on the list is going to be the New Orleans Baby Cakes.
Sponsored by...
Fleshlight. And the Lafayette Whisper Farts. Yeah.
You know, Baby Cakes, that sounds like some little cute pet name for your girlfriend. And, you know, New Orleans being that city, got, you know, a lot of cute little honeys down there. So I'm going to say yes. Come on, Baby Cakes. I love you.
Yeah, no, that is. It's a AAA affiliate of the Miami Marlins, by the way. So the Miami Marlins have both the Jacksonville Jumbo Shrimp and the New Orleans Baby Cakes in their organization. Congratulations.
Hey, you could say the New Orleans Crab Cakes.
Yeah, I know. No, they went with Baby Cakes because they're hoping Jared Goff's girlfriend hears it. And they're like, hey, girl, what's up? What's going on, Baby Cakes? You down for
politics?
No, it's not politics. No.
What's it's that? My girl, though. That's just when you got baby cakes, you should play your girl, though. It's not.
Oh, yeah. No, it's
not just when you come, like, it's how hard you come.
Yeah, it's absolutely right.
Shut your bum ass up, man.
Don't tell her to show. Don't you dare say that to Doris Burke. That woman is a national treasure. You good? Anything you need? You all right?
Yeah, I got to do a little pachanga meet and greet, which is great because my mom coming in for Christmas and she was
that's awesome.
For 2 days.
That's awesome.
And so, and then I head to Alabama. For they named the high school gym after my coach and the MVP trophy after me.
Oh, and that's dope.
Going to San Antonio to do a little WSS interview. My weekend is full.
Yeah, you're packed. So they named your high school named the MVP trophy after you.
Yeah, we have our high school is for years and years and years. We have this Christmas tournament. I won in 88, okay. 87, and 86. So he won in 85. So it's been like for 4 years straight, it was he and I winning the MVP trophy in this tournament. So, of course, you know, I got a little success now and I'm old. Nobody who knows the fuck I am. Now they just now wanting to tell me and name the damn trophy out of me after
By the way, there is no greater sign of I'm an old man than when they start naming trophies after you. Jesus Christ.
I'm like, come on, man. I'm like
Vince Lombardi all of a sudden. I'm Larry O'Brien. I got a trophy named after me. Jesus. How old am I? Robert Horry died in the 40s. No, he didn't. What are you talking about? Shit.
Follow the show on Twitter at Big Shot Bob Pod for links to all our guests and all sorts of fun. The Big Shot Bob Pod is a presentation of Live by Live's Podcast One and Podcast One Sportsnet.
Hey, what's up? It's Meta World Peace here. And I got my new podcast, Metaphorically Speaking. We're going to be talking about mental health, basketball, and a lot of tough topics. All that and more with my friends and celebrities. So make sure you check out my podcast, Metaphorically Speaking, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.